Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the show. I am so happy to have you back. I am so excited to chat about historical romances. It is something that I actually love reading. I don't read that often, but it's something that I just need to go back to it. And after watching the first three episodes of The Bridgerton season 3, I'm like, oh my gosh, give me Regency, give me Wallflowers, give me Rakes, give me like a marriage of convenience. Such an obvious thing. Fake engagements and lessons in seduction teach me how to be seductive and get married in the marriage mark. Love it, love it, love it. In a previous episode, I talked how I did not watch the second season of Bridgerton. I watched the first couple episodes. I was annoyed at the love triangle, felt that it was unnecessary. Could not care less about sisters fighting for men. That's just like not for me. I don't mind cheating. It's not a trigger for me. It just is. But I don't like sisters fighting for a man for attention. It's just icky. I am of the belief that where my parents raised us, my brother and I, cradled to the grave. So we have each other's back. We may not be best friends. We may not be even friends, but we actually have each other's back. And so having a conflict, like a man coming in between them, it feels like icky. Like, why are you fighting? Like, you should not be fighting for a man. Like, a man is not the end of the world. So that's my issue. Did not like it. Could not care less. But I did. There was a couple of reels to explain to you what you missed if you skipped season 2 like myself. So just in case, one thing you should know is that Penelope's lady whistles now, which we knew that from season 1. But Eloise now knows the secret. So Eloise is no longer friends with Penelope. And Penelope is by herself. Her two sisters are married. Lord Featherton has left because he was found to embezzling money, but it was actually the mother who was doing the little money laundering thing in the sign. And so the sisters, or Penelope, will have to like sire a son. So he will be the one who inherits the title. More to reveal. I watched the first three episodes. So basically, Colin is back from traveling the world, or traveling Europe, as anyone does. So he's back and he's been sending letters to Penelope and she's not listening to them because Penelope overheard him telling his friends that he would never marry Letty. He needs to grovel. And so Penelope's like, I need to find a husband. I got money. I'm going to get a new dress. I'm going to get a makeover and I'm going to find a husband. And she's a wallflower. So it's hard to get out of the wall into this new place where she's connecting with other potential suitors. So that's where we are. And so Colin offers, you know, as a rakish as this does, and he's his friend. He's like, I can teach you how to get a husband. And so that's the story. And as we know, feelings will ensue and lots of sexy times will happen. I watched the first three episodes, and the reason why I have not watched the carriage scene and the fourth episode is not because it's boring. It's because I don't want to wait. I'm trying to like be able, because I know it's like a cliffhanger. I don't want to be like, okay, and then I have to wait a month to get the next few episodes. So I'm waiting for them so that I'll have 5 episodes to binge once they're all ready to go. And in between, I'm going to share 9 book recommendations for Brookish, Rake, and Wallflowers for you to read while waiting for Bridgerton season 3. These are similar tropes to Colin and Penelope. So Colin is a rake and Penelope is a wallflower. And a rake is someone who is kind of like a womanizer. He's basically going to the brothels and sleeping around and has the pick of the wallflowers, pick of the ladies in the space. Like, that's how Colin is in the first episode. And Penelope is holding on the water and the wallflower. She's not dancing. She's not like talking. She's trying to talk to people, but it's a little bit more difficult now to do it. So let's get to the recommendations. The first book I want to recommend is How to Win a Wallflower, Samara Parrish. So Marsh was actually a guest on the show back in the day, and her episode will be linked in the show's playlist. Every episode that I'm going to share solo shows, I'm going to try to include a playlist of past episodes for you to go back and binge. Free for yourself. So if you want to hear Samara's take on her writing process, writing historicals, as well as her book recommendations, listen to that episode. But let's talk about How to Win a Wallflower. So in this case, it's John Ben Bainsworth, a newly inherited and thrust into London society, faces crumbling estates and unwanted engagement to his late brother's unpleasant fiance. Her dowry could save him, but at a great personal cost. Enter Lady Charlotte Sterling. Vivacious and charming, who proposes a daring solution to John's financial woes. Despite his growing feelings for her, John must keep his emotions in check. Charlotte is aware that she shouldn't fall for John, her brother's best friend and enemy's fiancé, focuses on solving the problem. Yet the more she helps him, the harder it becomes to let him go. So this is like a little bit angsty. We're not supposed to have feelings, but at the same time, we can actually work this out, and I need someone who can actually give me some money. So God bless, you know, poor people in London society, poor men in London society who need a woman to fix his problems. But I assume this is going to be spicy and it's going to be great. And I have not read it, but I'm going to read this. I'm going to pump that in. So the next one is actually a book that's been on my TBR for a long time, but it's been crowdsourced as one of those must read. And it's According to One. And this book is The Duchess War. This book is Miss Minerva Lane prefers to remain quiet, unnoticed, wallflower to avoid repeating the past scandal that forced her to change her name. Okay, so she changed her name. So she actually had a scandal, which is actually more intriguing for the process. However, her plans have disrupted when Robert Blaisdell, the Duke of Claremont, arrives to town and takes interest in her. Despite her attempt to stay hidden, Robert sees through her facade. And meaning uncovers the intentions, Robert becomes determined to expose her secrets before she can reveal his own. But this time, the reserved and clever Minnie might just outmatch and determine the Duke. So this is a battle of the will. So she doesn't want to be seen. And yet he's like, I want you. I have something to talk about. I need you. And this is going to be a push-pull. So if you look for a push-pull relationship, a little bit enemies, a little lovers, I think this book might be for you. The next book is The Many Sins of Laura Cameron by Jennifer Ashley. This is part of the Mackenzie series, which is so good. If you have not read the Mackenzie series, what are you waiting for? Laura and Mackenzie is like so swoony and just like, so good. That book is just so good. It needs a reread. But I am curious to hear about Laura Cameron, who is one of Laura and Mackenzie's brothers. So in this case, is Cameron Mackenzie, known for his love for horses and women, finds Ashley Douglas sneaking around his bedchamber again, 6 years after the first encounter. Back then, she claimed she saw a liaison, but couldn't follow through because of her husband. Ooh, now she's a widow. Ainsley is on a mission to retrieve letters that could embarrass the queen. Cam, uninterested in the subterfuge, decides to seduce her one kiss at a time. What begins as a playful diversion may break Cam's rules and heal his troubled past. Okay, so Ainsley Douglas, I think I call her Ashley, but it's Ainsley Douglas. I am here for it. I love the fact that she has some letters that can embarrass the queen. Yes, girl, just do it. And the fact that she actually got it on, she did cheat, and it's like, okay. Again, I don't have triggers for cheating. It's not the end of the world. It's just is. And she had an encounter with Cameron in his bedchamber and then came back. I have to say, if I was living in Regency time or in Victoria time, I want to be a widow. Because widows had, like, they had the money, they had the freedom to do things on chaperone. Like, they were just like, whatever. You know, they can take lovers. I would rather be a widow. I would not be a married, like, an 18-year-old, like, you know, married 18, dead husband, move on, be a widow, and have the time of your life. So that's just my take on of how I want to live in Regency. But If you know. All right. So the next one is Sapphic, actually, Regency. I think it's a Sapphic historical romance. And it's The Perks of Being a Wallflower by Erica Ridley. Erica was also on the show. So I'm going to link her interview into the show notes on the show playlist for you to listen to. All right. So Tommy Winchester, a master of disguise, can be anyone needed to solve her family's cases. But when her latest client, Miss Philippa York, a highborn lady Tommy secretly adores, things get complicated. Philippa, a book stalking on interest and love, focuses on decoding the old century's manuscript to thwart modern-day villain. She's thrilled to find that her charming Baron Helper is actually a woman, and as her mission progresses and danger looms, Tommy and Philippa find their growing closeness, putting more than just their hearts at risk. So this looks good. This is a little bit of like a romantic suspense. I think this whole series has a lot of like heist and people like trying to solve problems and try to solve things. So they have like it has a B plot. And I think this is much more engaging. If you're looking for something more plot driven, thus in character focused, this series for you. And there's about 4 books in the series. I think this is a great place to get started. All right. So now we got London's Perfect Scoundrel by Susan Enoch. Evelyn Riddick is determined to teach Marquis of St. Alban, known as Saint, for his scandalous ways, a lesson in compassion. She needs his help for the Head Hope Orphanage, where she heads the Board of Trustees. Despite his reputation, Eva's resolve weakens as his touch ignites her desires. Intent on seducing her, the Marquis finds himself captivated by Eva's tender heart and fiery spirits. As passion grows, he begins to wonder if his notorious rage can be reformed by love. So we got Ivy, who actually heads the orphanage, which is like one of those like places that women actually head over when they were in this time period. So she has the man who is the head of the board trustee, and she needs him to actually do this work. And she's like, but he's a rake. And he's like, no, I want you. He wants her. And she's like, no, I want you to do the work. So it's a rake performed by love. We really gotta love that trope. All right. And then the next one is And Then He Kissed Her by Laura Lee Gerke. Laura Lee actually was another guest in the show. We have plenty of authors in the show. We have like a backlist of 500 author interviews. So you're likely to see an author interview. But if you wanted to listen to her interview, it will be in the show playlist along with she recommended us to read as well as her writing process because Laura has been writing for some time. All right. So And Then He Kissed Her by Laura Lee Gerke. Let's talk about the synopsis. Emma, an expert in etiquette, takes her reputation seriously and dreams of sharing her knowledge and London's readers. Working as a secretary for the Viscount Rouleau, a notorious rake and publisher, she believes that he's her best chance to get published. However, she discovers he's been rejecting her manuscripts without reading them. Furious, she resigns, causing chaos in his business. Determined to prove that her wrong, Harry, the Viscount, tries to teach her a lesson, but ends up discovering her unexpected passion. A single kiss reveals chemistry that neither of them anticipated. Okay, so this one is a similar match to Lady Whistledown, you know? Penelope writes her column, so she gets published. It's the same idea, like women want to get published. And obviously, like at that point, it was really difficult for a woman to get published. So they might have to look at, you know, impersonate to a pseudonym as a man. And so it's interesting that he, you know, obviously you need a woman to run your business. And obviously it's chaos ensues. And Harry's like, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. But he realizes that actually he likes her more than he needs. He needs her more than she needs him. So God bless Emma. The next one is Love and Other Scandals by Carolyn Linden. In this one, John Bennett has on the verge of becoming a spinster after 4 unsuccessful seasons. Inspired by a provocative 50 Ways to Sin, she decides to embrace her wild side while she's still young. She sets her sight for Viscount Burke, her brother's best friend, for a bit of mischief. Though Burke is worried to get involved with his friend's sister, the idea of scandalous affair for Joan becomes increasingly tempting. Okay, so this one is a little bit more interesting. So Joan is about to be a spinster, and she had 4 unsuccessful seasons. She could not get a man, and she's like, you know what? I'm just not going to wait around for you to find me a man. I'm not going to wait. I want to have fun. And so she read this book, 50 Ways to Sin, and she's like, girl, I'm going to find myself a man. So she goes to her brother's best friend, and she's like, he's a Viscount, but he's a rake, and he might as well teach her the lessons, which is like similar to what Penelope Collins' season looks like. So Burke is like worried about getting involved with his friend's sister, but you know what? This is going to like be fun. This could be like a fun thing. So he's going to go for the temptation and he's going to do it. And so obviously Phyllis will ensue. The Wrong Marquis by Vivian Lorais. In this one, Elodie Parrish has always believed that she will marry Marquis next door. But with Spencer Heard approaching, she's losing hope. Determined to give him one last chance, her plans are complicated by the persistent Argon Lord Hallsworth. Brandon Marquis of Hallsworth, tired of being pursued by debutantes, has no interest in marriage until he meets Ellie. She's different, and despite her feelings for another Marquis, he can't help but be drawn to her. And they spend more time together researching for her book. Ellie begins to question her heart and wonders if she might be falling for the wrong Marquis. So, God bless this story. So, Elodie is basically, she thinks that she's going to marry her next door neighbor, who happens to be Marquis. But the guy has not done Eddie's job. So, Spencer her is approaching, and she's like, okay, this doesn't look good. So, she connects with Laura Hulsework, which is another Marquis, but not her neighbor. And he's just tired of all debutantes, all the mothers trying to get him to date her and get married, and he has no interest in marriage. But then he meets Ellie, and he's like, I'm attracted to Ellie. I have feelings for her. Maybe this could work. And she's like, maybe I'm falling for the wrong Marquis. I love this. I love the fact is, like, the idea of, like, having someone in mind and then realizing, like, your truth is not true and there's someone better for you and someone's a better match for you. Love this. Love this for Ellie. All right, the final book is Perfect Rake by Anne Gracie. Prudence Merridew is determined to escape an abusive grandfather and secure freedom for herself and four sisters. Despite being considered the plainest of the sisters, she devises a plan to fake an engagement. When she mistakenly claims to be engaged to the Duke, it's his cousin Gideon, Lord Carduthis, who takes interest. Gideon knows for his charms, eagerly joins Prudence Roost, hoping to win her over. And their deception unfolds, unexpected passion and romance ignite between them. So I love this trope where the lady is like, wants to get freedom. I read it multiple times, and maybe I'll do an episode for these trope where girl pretends that she has a fake engagement to some Duke. Duke doesn't know that she's engaged, and she actually works it out in a way to society that gets to, like, you know, gets money, gets prestige and all those different things, and helps her sisters be in a better position for the marriage mark. And then most of the time, the Duke falls in love with her. But in this case, it's not the Duke. It's some other Duke. It's his cousin who's like, yeah, I'm going to, like, fall in love with this. So, yeah, this is good. So these books, I want to present them a little bit different. I went to different places and I tried to figure out which ones recommended for the best books for Rakes and Wallflowers as someone who's, like, looking for new recommendations. And so I try to look for authors that I'm not normally seen, normally known for. And so these are actually recommended books for people who have read them and said, these are the best books for Wallflower Rakes. And I have to tell you, these recommendations are actually interesting. They're actually books that I would love to pick up. And so maybe in a future episode, when I tell my current reads, I'll tell you what I thought about these books. But so far, I read 5 out of 10 of all of them. I'm pretty much sure that if I have the time, I'll read them all. So I hope you like this format of an episode. It's a little bit different, but I figure, you know, we're waiting for a couple weeks for these episodes to come out. So we might as well start binging some new books and hopefully discover some new authors to you and to try out some historical romance. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and happy reading. Bye. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.